Bone-chilling greetings, everybody. The tunes are courtesy of my friend, country legend, Bobby Mackey. And as always, I'm your host, Tessa Morrow.
Across from the depot on a bar stool, she took off her ring. I thought I'd get closer, so I walked on over, sat down and asked her name.
Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your day. This week's special city shoutouts go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida; Las Piñas, Philippines; Belleville, Argentina; Cleckheaton, England; Perryville, Missouri; and Sandhurst, England.
Try to learn to breathe deeply, really to taste food when you eat, and when you sleep, really to sleep. Try as much as possible to be wholly alive with all your might. And when you laugh, laugh like hell. And when you get angry, get good and angry. Try to be alive. You will be dead soon enough.
Ernest Hemingway, a man of, oh, so many talents. He was a journalist, a novelist. He served in World War I, and he was a war correspondent during the Spanish Civil War and World War II. He was enlisted with the Red Cross and served as an ambulance driver for the Italian front during the First World War. He unfortunately is severely injured in 1918. It is during his time in Italy, while he is hurt, that he grows very fond and very close to his nurse. Sparks for the young Hemingway take place and love is suddenly in the air. Sadly, though, it would be only one-sided. He tries his best to swoon her and court her, but she does turn him down. He spirals into a depression, something that would stay in the background, dormant at times, but never too far from the surface, peeking its ugly head occasionally throughout his 61 years on Earth. While in Milan, it was the very first day that he was called to a munitions factory that had suffered an explosion. He helped search and retrieve remains from unfortunate women who were there when the explosion took place. In his 1932 book, Death in the Afternoon, he discusses this ever so deadly incident.
Funny how it should take one war to start a woman in your damn heart, and another to finish her. Bad luck.
The ladies loved Hemingway, and he absolutely loved the ladies as well. That was no secret. He was married 4 times, and he unfortunately would cheat on every single one of his wives. But besides the first wife, none of the others were very innocent either, because they knew he was married, and sometimes they were married as well.
I love you for all that you are, all that you have been, all that you're yet to be.
The first Mrs. Hemingway would be Hadley Richardson. She was a talented musician and had spent close to a decade caring for her sickly mother, who unfortunately was suffering from Bright's disease, and she would take care of her up until her mother's death. Life was kind of rough for her as a child. When she was just a little girl, she falls out of a 2-story window, and this left her seriously hurt. I mean, she was bedridden for a little over a year. That's a long time, especially for a little kid. You know, that must have felt like an eternity. Because of this, her mother became this overly protective mother. And the young girl, she wasn't able to play with other children, do any really type of sport, or really anything at all. And she lives quite a rather sheltered life as a child because of this horrendous injury. I mean, she's lucky she didn't get killed. And while she is still young, her father, who was suffering from financial problems, sadly, he commits suicide. At some point, she also loses her sister, who was killed in an apartment fire. So we're definitely seeing a lot of heartbreak when it comes to Hadley Richardson. In 1920, the young woman and Ernest Hemingway meet in Chicago. And to Hemingway, Richardson really reminds him very much of the nurse that he had fallen for and was rejected by. And the only difference between the nurse and Richardson is that the latter did not reject him. In fact, it was just a few months later that they were married after meeting. They would go on to have a son together. Early on in their marriage, the couple, they moved to Paris, where Hemingway dives really deep down into his writing. In 1926, it is discovered that Hemingway is having an extramarital affair with a woman named Pauline Pfeiffer, a journalist. She is not just some random broad, mind you. She is, in fact, introduced to Hemingway by none other than Hemingway's then-wife, Hadley. In fact, they were best friends. Pauline would even go on vacation with the Hemingway couple sometimes. Yes, Richardson does not lose her beloved husband to an accident or a disease or some other type of cause. No, she loses the love of her life to a woman who is considered to be her best friend. And the Best Friend of the Year award goes to, definitely not to Pauline Pfeiffer. Ernest divorces Hadley, and he admits that this is something that he deeply regretted for the rest of his life. He really did love her, and he knew that he did her wrong, and it stuck with him. But it would not be a lesson he learned, as he would do the same thing over and over and over again. It is Pauline Pfeiffer, wife number one's best friend, who would become wife number two. Pauline was a journalist who had gotten very close to the Hemingways. Many would think too inappropriately close. She reels her hook right into Hemingway, and sadly, he cannot resist her charm. He himself, along with several other people, I imagine, considered her a villain in one of his novels that he wrote, saying how she had basically murdered his marriage with Hadley Richardson. Ernest and Pauline, they would go on to have two sons together. Now, several years ago, I had gone on a cruise to the Bahamas, which stopped along the way to Key West. And let's just say that it did not disappoint. I was actually more impressed with Key West than I was with the Bahamas. And I mean, don't get me wrong, the Bahamas, it's gorgeous there, but we just kept getting bombarded by people to sell us stuff or rent us stuff, and we couldn't even take a step without being bugged or pestered by people just like wanting our money. And so, you know, it is what it is. But Key West, on the other hand, hey, next time I go on a cruise, just dump my ass off over there. Really great time. We just fell in love with it, with the ever so colorful roosters whose ancestors were Cuban fighting roosters, and they still roam the streets to this day. We went to Sloppy Joe's, which was one of, well, not one of, but it was Hemingway's place to go to. It was his favorite watering hole. He was very good friends with the people there. We became friends with a kick-ass bartender named Megan. We went parasailing. My favorite thing, though, at Key West was the Hemingway house, hands down. I mean, it is so beautiful there. They also have a Hemingway mini model house for cats. I was just so impressed by it. Absolutely precious. The cats there are loved and respected there. They even say, people do not touch the furniture. Cats are welcome, though. And you know, the cats really are a very special type of feline. Long ago, Hemingway was gifted a six-toed cat by, I believe it was a sea captain. And well, its descendants roam here to this very day, and it is quite a sight, those six-toed feline. While at the Hemingway house, we did one of their tours, which I really recommend if you're in the area, because you learn a lot. And we did. We learned so much history. One thing that we could not help but notice, and it was also pointed out, was a penny that is embedded into the concrete by the pool. Now, mind you, there was not always a pool here at the Hemingway house. I mean, come on, you guys. They lived a seashell's throw away. See what I did there? Yeah. From the beach. Before the pool we see today even existed, before it was even a thought, right? In its place was once a boxing ring. Hemingway had spent a ton of time there. I mean, it was his pride and joy. He was very proud of this, and he enjoyed using it. Hemingway is out of town, and while he is gone, Pauline, who we just talked about earlier, who took him away from his first wife and her own best friend, she finds out that her husband is cheating on her. Shocker. Pauline, you yourself were a cheater. You knew Ernest was a cheater. You cheated together, and now he's cheating on you. Some may say karma. Anyways, he was away, and she definitely played. She had his boxing ring removed, and in its place, she installed a pool. Now, this was back in 1938, and the pool costed over $20,000. Today, that's equivalent to $443,830. Big time, ouch. When he arrives home and he sees that his beloved boxing ring no longer is there and that a pole sits there, he is infuriated. Who can blame him? I think anybody in that situation would be. Something you loved and used a lot is now gone. You're not going to be happy about that, for sure. No one could blame him. And when he found out just exactly how much this pole costed him, mind you, not Pauline, but him, he was beyond furious. Again, who could blame him? And it is said that he angrily throws a penny to the ground, saying to his soon-to-be ex-wife, "Pauline, you've spent all but my last penny, so you might as well have that too." And to add insult to injury, that penny, which dates back to 1934, is embedded forever in the Key West Hemingway House, which again, I really do recommend if you are in the Key West area, stroll on over, check it out. Along our walk there, we actually got to see colorful roosters and a few big iguanas, so kind of a fun little walk in itself. I know next time I go to Key West, I will definitely be going back to the Hemingway House. Wife number three enters the picture, Martha Gellhorn. Let's just say that karma is a bitch and came to nip Pauline right in the tuchus. Just like how she weaseled her way into Ernest and Hadley's marriage, a woman named Martha does the exact same thing. Martha first meets Ernest Hemingway at Sloppy Joe's, again, cool place, go check it out, in Key West, Florida. Martha befriends the couple, and they spend a lot of time together. Soon Martha and Ernest then start spending some time one-on-one, and an affair takes place. Martha leaves Florida and heads over to New York. By this time, Pauline Pfeiffer is in the rearview mirror, and Ernest is completely and utterly infatuated with Martha. Martha, at this point, she had been a journalist for a number of decades, and she was very seasoned, and she was damn good at what she did. And because of that, it required her to do a ton of traveling around the world to cover events. Ernest, he leaves Key West and he follows his new love to the Big Apple. A little over half a month after his second marriage is legally over, him and Martha get married. Because she had to travel a lot, it required her being gone from home a lot of the time. And Hemingway, he becomes rather bitter about this. They're divorced in just a matter of 5 years, unfortunately. But old habits, they die hard, and while they were still married, he cheated on her with a journalist named Mary Welsh. And it is Mary Welsh who will become Hemingway's final wife and eventually his widow. Martha would go on living her life, and she would remarry. And I hate to say this, but in her older years, Martha finds herself in horribly poor health. This poor woman was practically fully blind. She was dealing with ovarian cancer. And if that wasn't painful or bad enough, that ovarian cancer spreads to her liver. The pain this woman must have been in, I can't even imagine. It must have been so excruciating. On February 15th of 1998, while in London, she can't take it anymore, and Martha Gellhorn commits suicide by swallowing a cyanide capsule. The fourth and final wife and eventual widow of Ernest Hemingway is Mary Welsh. She's a journalist who meets Hemingway in London, a year before his divorce to Martha. Mary, who, by the way, was also married, it is this marriage with Mary, his final marriage, that would last the longest. They move to Cuba, where Mary suffers, sadly, a miscarriage. They are there for over 12 years. And while they are in Cuba, shocker, shocker, Hemingway falls for somebody else. But they remain married, however, and make the marriage work. And eventually they move on to Idaho in 1959, just a couple short years before Hemingway would take his own life. They also spend time in New York, where things just get kind of bizarre when it comes to Hemingway himself, but more on that in just a short while. Now, by this time, Ernest Hemingway, he's extremely depressed. He's going through some major stuff. One day in their Idaho home, Mary walks into the room to find Ernest with a gun. Knowing the history of the Hemingway family and that he was indeed depressed, she immediately calls the family doctor, who proceeds to admit Ernest Hemingway to a hospital, where he will go through 3 electroshock treatments, at least 3. Well, this does not help him in the slightest, and he grows into an even deeper depression. Months later, he will take his own life.
Life breaks all of us, but some of us get stronger in the broken places.
He may have been a notorious cheater, but he was a good individual. He was very talented. People adored him. They loved him. They respected him. And to this day, they continue to just read his novels and really just enjoy him. He was a survivor. This poor man, he had suffered several head injuries in his life. And this is what I found very interesting. Within a matter of hours, he survives not one, but get this, you guys, 2 plane crashes. In 1954, Hemingway and his wife, Mary, they're aboard a small Cessna when suddenly things go awry. The plane clips a telegraph pole, and it plunges right on top of the shores of the Nile, which, by the way, totally filled with crocodiles, right? Well, the couple and the pilot, they're stranded overnight, but they survive to see the next morning, thankfully. That very next morning, just a few hours later, a tourist boat is nearby and sees the Hemingways and the pilot and bring them into a nearby town. It is there that they get on a second plane, which is supposed to take them to Uganda. And believe it or not, it's right after this plane takes off that they crash. The aircraft, it catches on fire. The pilot manages to kick out a window where he is able to take the small Mary Welsh Hemingway out. But Hemingway himself, he's kind of a bigger build and he's unable to get out. With all the force he can, he uses his own head to open the door. Because of this, he suffers a concussion and a skull fracture. In a letter to his lawyer, he later details even more injuries. Quote, couldn't write letters much on account of right arm, which was burned to the bone, 3rd degree, and it would cramp up on me. But fingers burned and left hand 3rd degree too, so couldn't type. The trouble is inside where right kidney was ruptured and liver and spleen injured. I am weak from so much internal bleeding. Have been a good boy and tried to rest. Mary had a big shock and her memory not too hot yet. It will take quite a time to sort things out. Unquote. I believe she got off a lot easier than her husband, but she still had some broken ribs as well and was hurt. I mean, it's just amazing that, you know, a plane crash is rare, but 2 in just a matter of hours? To me, that's just absolutely mind-blowing, and it's a miracle they survived these plane crashes. Later on in life, Hemingway becomes completely and utterly a recluse while in New York. He downright refuses to leave his apartment. This is kind of the last straw that broke the camel's back, and Mary insists that they leave New York and head to Idaho. For reasons unknown, he has become rather paranoid. He truly believed that the feds were stalking his every move and robbing him of his money. Because of this severe paranoia, Hemingway finds himself at the Mayo Clinic, where he goes through at least 15 electroconvulsive therapy sessions. 15! Mind-blowing and very heartbreaking.
The rain will stop. The night will end. The hurt will fade. Hope is never so lost that it can't be found.
Sadly, the Hemingway family has been plagued with suicides of beloved family members dying by their own hands. In December of 1928, Clarence Hemingway, Ernest's very own father, commits suicide by shooting himself with the family revolver. To be more specific, his own father's .32 Smith & Wesson revolver. Ernest, he's absolutely devastated over his father's sudden death. He blamed his mother, who was unfit in her own ways, for his father's death. Ernest had what some may consider a premonition, if you will. after his father's suicide, he pens a letter to his mother-in-law at the time and wrote about the suicide, saying, quote, "I'll probably go the same way," unquote. Clarence Hemingway, he had 6 children, 3 of which would commit suicide. At times considered a bully, but he made sure his family was well taken care of and that his wife would not go without. In July of 1961, Ernest, he follows his father's footsteps and puts a double-barreled shotgun to his head, saying goodbye to the world. His widow releases this statement shortly after the author's suicide. Quote, "Mr. Hemingway accidentally killed himself while cleaning a gun this morning at 7:30 a.m. No time has been set for the funeral services, which will be private," unquote. And it wouldn't be until later on, when Mary Welsh Hemingway admitted to the public, and probably to herself, as she was most likely in denial, that this was not accidental, but intentional. Ernest Miller Hemingway, just like his father, Clarence Edmonds Hemingway, has without a doubt committed suicide. 5 years after Ernest's suicide, his sister Ursula kills herself by overdose. This poor woman was extremely ill, she suffered from cancer, and she was battling severe depression. And because of this, I think anybody would in that situation. You have this terminal disease, and I mean, I think it'd be rare if you weren't depressed because of that. And in 1982, Ernest and Ursula's brother, Leicester, was in poor health and was sadly suffering from diabetes, in which he had to have both of his legs amputated. And like his father and his brother, he puts a gun to his head, ending his life. He was only the tender age of 13 when his father, Dr. Hemingway, took his own life, and he was in the home when it happened. In 1996, Hemingway's granddaughter, a gorgeous young woman named Margot Hemingway, who in the 1970s, by the way, was one of the highest paid models, and looking just how beautiful she was, I could completely see why, she sadly commits suicide by a barbiturate overdose. Her death really devastated the family, especially her sister, who was equally as beautiful as her, a woman named Marielle. And she has been very open about talking about suicide and has been an advocate when it comes to that, to trying to help people. So kudos to her. And even though she was not a Hemingway at the time of her death, as mentioned earlier, Ernest's third wife, Martha, she swallows a cyanide capsule after word was told to her that cancer had indeed spread.
Every man's life ends the same way. It is only in the details of how he lived and how he died that distinguished one man from another.
Suicide was discussed a lot in this episode. If you or someone you know is suffering from depression or suicidal thoughts, please know that you're not alone and reach out to somebody. There are other ways that are not so permanent to help with your depression. Please reach out to the National Suicide Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. And as Hemingway once said,
"You are so brave and quiet, I forget you are suffering."
Don't be quiet. Use your voice. Reach out to someone. You are not alone. Big shout out to my phenomenal voiceover family, Arnie Haim, Jerry Morrow, Bryce Kolb, and Sean Curtis. Thank you, everybody. Awesomely appreciated. If you are interested in being a voiceover for the podcast yourself, please reach out to me. You can find me on my Paranormal Prowlers podcast Facebook page. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They're all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single one yet? No need to fret. Just hit up any of those podcast platforms such as Deezer, Downcast, Overcast, Podcast Republic, Radio Public, basically wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcast lurking in the background. See you guys next week.